We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The band I saw last night, Consider the Source, has more talent in their toe jam than Jimmy Buffett has in his entire being.
You went to a concert last night?
Shawn Michaels, yeah. Concert-ish. It was a show at Smith's Old Bar. It wasn't exactly like 20,000 people at Phillips Arena, but nevertheless, probably 100 hippies and deadheads congregating and doing the white man or white girl wiggle to a little Consider the Source. Really, really crazy guitar, bass, and
who
drums.
Is the Source?
It was amazing.
That's the name of the band?
Consider the Source.
Oh, I was like, who is the Source?
The Source is the guitarist. John, this guy played one of those double guitars, you know, with the two fretboards,
yeah,
which is kind of a nerdy look, but this guy turned those turned the double guitars into violin, trumpet, keyboards, and then obviously a bunch of unbelievable guitar. I've never seen that before. Tom Morello of Rage Against the Machine has all the wiki wiki ah, ah, like all those crazy, crazy sounds. This guy was Morello-ish like that, man. The sounds that he got out of his guitar were amazing. And I was telling Preacher Man, for the first time in my life, I was happy that the show ended at 11:25. First time ever in my life.
Yeah.
Usually, John, that is a buzzkill,
sure,
and I'm mad at the band. How dare you not play till midnight? Well, these cats came out at 9:45, played till 11:15, and then came out for an encore. They were off the stage at 11:25. And I was like, I'm really tired. I want to go home. And I had a couple of Cokes, mm-hmm, at Smith's Old Bar last night and got home safely, man. It was perfect. But first time in my life, I was happy a show ended at 11:25. I was ready to go home.
No, I'm happy for you. 11:25, I was long since in the bed. What was Urania watching last night? There's some – the show The Resident that I think is filmed right down the street that keeps jamming up our traffic on Peach. That's her new show.
So now Mark already said it won't last long.
Why not?
I'm going to come in and I'm going to change the medical system. I'm 20 years old and I know more about medical profession than all of these doctors that have been doing it their whole life. Oh, we can't save all the lives? Why don't we try? Get over yourself.
I'll be honest. She watched, and that's when I drift off into the abyss of Twitter and everywhere else while she was watching that. It's better than the other stuff she normally has on. Normally, it's Real Housewives of this, Little People of that. There literally is a show, Little People Atlanta. I have never seen... Yes.
Specific to Atlanta.
Yes, it's all these... I think it might be Little Women Atlanta. It's all these little women that are, you know, they're undersized,
uh-huh,
women.
Yeah, get it.
I've never seen a group of little women hanging out at a restaurant.
Good job not using the M word, by the way.
Yeah, that's politically incorrect.
Yeah, good job.
You know, people get up in their feelings, and the show is called Little Women Atlanta. She watches that, and I go, how is this entertaining? Like, seriously, what makes this entertaining? It would be better, and again, Oxygen or Lifetime or any of you networks that want to come in and do Midday Atlanta and just come in and film the lives of Preacher Man, Mark Owens, Shawn Michaels, and Rick Kamla. I guarantee we will be more entertaining than the Little Women Atlanta.
Well, especially if you're standing in the bullpen and I'm having a conversation with my children.
Yes. Paul's screaming at his kids. I'm ordering season tickets. Rick's ranting about somebody sick, giving him a soda. And Mark still wasn't here because he was crying at daycare this morning.
All right.
No. I wasn't crying. You were crying. Shut up.
All right. I gotta come. Mark and me got beef. I got to come to him here in just a second. But I had a crazy deja vu this morning. Crazy. And it actually wasn't deja vu because deja vu is actually like I don't know, your mind playing tricks on you. I had a crazy, like, recurring theme. Like, I told you that last week I got a free soda from this this beautiful, awesome person down at Chick-fil-A. And actually, I'm paying for the sodas now because I just want to give back. But anyway, she was sick, and she told me she was sick. She gave me the soda. I had to throw the soda away. Okay, fine, move on. She's healthy. I've been getting sodas from her in the meantime, paying for them. And so today, she's making the soda. I'm paying for it, putting a little chip in the machine. And, John, this beautiful human being is telling, mm-hmm, me I got the bug again. I slept for 13 hours yesterday. I never sleep that long. I'm going to the doctor when my shift ends here at Chick-fil-A, and I'm like, oh, my God. I just want Diet Dr. Pepper. That is not poison. So right. I came upstairs and ceremoniously threw the large Diet Dr. Pepper away in front of John and Paul. I cannot believe that I am now dealing with this two consecutive weeks. And she goes out of her way, John, to be the one that serves me the soda.
She's a sweetheart. That's
She is a sweetheart, but I don't know. Am I easy on the eyes? Is that what's going on here? Is it my winning attitude? I don't know. But like sometimes, like if you're sick, I want somebody else to step up and make my soda.
She handed me my sandwich and gave me a water, and I feel fine.
For now.
I'll be all right. I've already had my one sickness for the wintertime.
I have not, and I'm fighting the good fight. You and Paul just lie back and enjoy it. I fight the good fight, okay? Door handles, I use the end of my sleeve for door handles. I am constantly using hand sanitizer. I'm fighting the good fight, and knock on wood, so far, so good.
You know what I am? I'm a G. I get sick, I get sick. I'm not getting a flu shot. I'm not fighting it. It's going to happen anyway. That's my theory on stuff. It's going to happen. You're eventually going to get, not maybe you, but I'm going to get the flu once a year. I'm going to get the sniffles once a year, and I'm good with that.
Hey, John, how hot does Kay Adams of NFL Network look in her Super Bowl 52 hat?
Yep. Mark Owens, how are you this morning? Freshly shaved? Me and you both trimmed our beards down. I trimmed mine down quite a bit.
This was by accident.
Looking good, John.
It does. It's smooth.
You ever done that? Like you have your clippers and you don't realize you have the guard setting too low in the first.
No.
Son of a gun. So instead of looking like a road warrior, I just had to take the whole thing down today. I hate having my beard this low because I look like a fat 15-year-old going through puberty. I hate it.
This is a three guard and a little fadage on the side. I went with that. I normally will do the four guard, but the problem with the four guard, it stays trimmed for like 3 days, and then I look like a bushman.
Are you sure it's not fadage?
No, it's not. It's not fadage.
It's not fadage. So I do have beef with Mark Owens. John Fricke, while I was commenting to him, I'm really edgy and snarky today, and you're laughing in your car going, you always are,
Kamla. I was just saying that's every day.
But today it's like next level, okay? And I'm in a good mood. Come off a great night. Shout out to my buddy Dave Lewis for hollering at me about Consider the Source. And so I went into Mark Owens, and I noticed right away as he's in his office, I noticed just he's busy, he's got the wall up, he's kind of unapproachable, and that's very unlike Mark Owens. And so I think that little interaction with Mark Owens, I think he brought the snarky and the edgy here to the Kia Studios, and I think it has infected me now. So I think, John Fricke, we have found the source.
No, I was running late today. I'll let you guys know. We had the final donuts with dads for my daughter and her pre-K. So I told you guys, I'm running late. I'm going to be coming in, you know, racing in to get here on time before the show even gets started. So I race up here, get the computer turned on, trying to pull some audio real quick. And then Tricky Ricky comes in, guns blazing.
about the soda?
Yes, about the soda. It's like, and get that girl. She's down there. She's going to get me sick. Mark. And Ricky, you have this habit of, you get really fired up about somebody, you start pushing them. And you kind of put your hands.
I know, like, Charity hates it, but I love it.
And you get real fired up and aggressive. And I'm like, all right, Tiger, take it down a notch, all right? I did not pour the soda. I feel fine. I'm just trying to get you to some Super Bowl audio before the show gets started. So I was like, turn around.
Or Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey is still talking, and I need that channel back. So turn around, walk back in, and say good morning to me. Don't come in here guns blazing at me about a sick girl downstairs.
That's how I roll. Preacher Man, beef officially squashed, I think.
That's what's up?
Yeah, maybe.
The sports world never stops. So if you missed anything, Rick and John are here to tell you what's up.
What's up, Holmes?
We all expect to make those kind of plays. But I will tell you, as a receiver, when your time is thrown off a little bit, it does hurt you when it comes to catching a ball. If you ask Julio, he would say he should have caught it 100 times out of 100. So I'll just leave it at that.
Andre Roberts, he was on with us yesterday. You can hear the entire interview up on iTunes or at 929thegame.com. Talking about Julio Jones, the final play of the season, the incomplete pass, saying that Julio feels that he should have caught that, or maybe most receivers think they should have caught it, 100 out of 100. We've got some Falcon stuff to get into today. Vaughn McClure has an article up about Ricardo Allen, restricted free agent, as Thomas Dimitroff reiterated during the final press conference. Talking about what the tender could be for him, what the salary could be for him, how they could potentially fit Rico Allen under there. We'll ask a question, is Rico a guy that you want back, and is he one of the priorities that you want back on this football team?
Well, John, what are we talking about? How many bananas are we talking about?
About 2.5 mil is what the tender would be.
Well, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
2.5
that's
million.
That's peanuts in the NFL.
Come on, I thought you were going to say, you know, we got to go 5 years and $25 million to bring back Rico Allen, and I would still even be listening to that. I think he's a real unsung hero for this team. He can play corner. He can play both safety slots.
Yep.
He comes up and supports the run. You know, he's not a great ball hawk. You see him around the ball, but you don't. He's not like that Ed Reed guy, that Rod Woodson guy. You know, that takeaway safety. He's not that guy. But if he were that guy, he'd be making $10, $11, $12 million per year. He's a solid NFL. John, if he is the worst of our 11, and I don't mean like worst, but I mean if he's maybe like 11 out of our 11 starters, like if Rico Allen kind of slots as, you know, 11th on that list, how good is our defense?
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I mean, it could be a defense that's even better. Rico's a guy that he can be a ball hawk. He just hasn't been yet.
Well, he's not fast enough. He's not quick enough. Like, he's solid.
You don't
as
think
a rock.
He's twitchy?
He's not. He just doesn't have that, like, next level closing speed, that next level high end speed. You know, he's really good, but that's why he's not a ball hawk. You got to have those jets to be a ball hawk.
Hey, elsewhere, progress apparently made right now on Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The roof, according to the general manager, it was open with the push of a button for the first time recently. They said this: we just did our first operational move, open and close, 2 weeks ago. It's still slow because we're in the training wheel phase, but that's progress because before it was an all-manual construction move a year ago. There's also talk now that with Atlanta United, there could be more open-air games this upcoming year. I think soccer fans would all rejoice. Football fans would rejoice. The dome being open, the roof open against Green Bay was the best game of the year.
Was that the only...
That was the only time it was open.
Well, thank God I went to that game. It was really fun. I mean, the whole atmosphere... you know, being a part of history, that's really why I went.
Yeah.
And to see the roof open, I took pictures of it. It's surreal, mm-hmm. ladies and gentlemen, because you feel like you're indoors, but it's like when you're in your car with your moonroof or your sunroof open, but way, way cooler. I don't know. It's just a trip to be in there with the roof open, and I hope that can happen more often.
What happened last night, not good for the Atlanta Hawks. Once again, they play the Charlotte Hornets. They're the Hornets again, right? They're not the Bobcats anymore.
They're the Bobnets.
The Bobnets. I like that. Or the Horcats. I don't know that
would... Whoa.
That's Hornets and Bobcats
I
mixed
know.
Together. Come on.
I know.
Have a clean mind here. They're the Horcats.
Don't call our bosses, okay? Please.
Somebody's going to be in
For
their
the
car.
For the love of Pete.
Somebody's being in their car, Matt.
I can't believe that John Michaels called the Charlotte team that. I'll hang up and listen.
You stupid Floridian.
So super quick, dude.
Stupid Floridian.
One of my favorite things in sports is to skewer LeBron James. And according to reports, for him to be open to listening to the Warriors if they have a max contract slot, I have 30 reasons why I hate this. We'll get to that later in the show.
Hey, and by the way, congratulations, Georgia Tech men's basketball team. They knock off Syracuse yesterday. Good win for them. Mike Budenholzer coming up next. He's the head coach of your Atlanta Hawks. We'll talk to him about player efficiency rating. You won't believe who's the best player efficiency rating according to rookies in the NBA. Kind of gave it away if we're talking Hawks next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, here we go from the Kia Studios on the home of the Hawks, and we have Coach Mike Budenholzer. Coach, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing great, man. Doing great. So, Coach, any positives that you can draw from last night's game?
Oh, that's a tough question. Why are we going to have to start with that one?
Here, we'll go to another one, and we'll get back to that one. We're having a philosophical debate here, Coach.
Coach, you actually answered it by not answering it. Thank you.
We are having a philosophical debate going on with the show. We've got like 4 escalators in our building. You've been here. I am lazy by nature. I get on the escalator, and it's a mechanical staircase, so I ride it up. Rick gets really upset when people don't walk up the escalator. Are you a walk or ride guy when it comes to the escalator?
I'm more of a walk guy. Not always, but I would say more of a walk guy. But I respect those that stand, and then I'll stand with them.
I mean, did you see what Coach Bud did right there? He gave you the opinion, but he's a man of the people, and he embraced everybody right there. All right, Coach, I don't know if you're going to have more of an update than you had last night when talking about Dennis Schroeder and the sore shoulder. Just curious if maybe you know a little bit more and maybe a little clearer with his status for tomorrow night.
No, you know, we talked about it some, you know, after the media session and after, you know, I think, you know, he's not even sure exactly when or how it happened. And, you know, I think, you know, we'll know more today, but at the facility, today's a travel day. So
probably won't see Dennis till we get to the airport and no more then. And, you know, I don't know a lot more. And, you know, we'll just see how sore he is and how he's feeling and, you know, what the best thing for him, you know, tomorrow, obviously, with Boston and the weekend. So, you know, just I don't know a lot more.
Coach, I want to go back to last Friday, and a guy that's had a really good run this week is Kent Bazemore. 26, he only had 3 against Washington, but then he had 22 against Minnesota, 25 again last night. Is Kent just more confident? Why is the 3 ball falling for him the way that it has in 3 of the last 4 games?
Yeah, he's playing so great. And I think, that, you know, obviously everybody's been talking about the blocks against Minnesota, but I think his defense in general has been really his energy, his activity. He's just in a great place, you know, that's for sure. You know, not to go back to the tough opening question, but, you know, no doubt Baze's play last night and Baze's play, you know, in general a lot over the last, you know, handful of games is he's just in a great place. I like the way he's attacking the rim. You know, he's making good decisions in passing and, you know, he's just got a great bounce. You know, I think he's taking good care of his body, trying to keep his minutes in a really good place where he's, you know, not overused or overtaxed night to night. And I think that was part of Saturday. He played so great on Friday and gave so much energy and effort in Charlotte. We weren't able to kind of win that game. And I think Saturday, it's just tough. He plays so hard. I think he kind of felt, you know, I said his gas tank was empty on Saturday, but when his gas tank is full, he's been killing it. You know, Monday night, last night, you know, when he's on full, he's playing great right now.
Coach, I haven't heard you say that too often. He's killing it. I liked it. It's edgy, and we've got an edge about our show, and it originates from our producer and engineer, Mark Owens, this morning. I blame it on him. So, Coach, I want to ask you about Torian Prince, because obviously the production is not what you expect, and it's not what we expect either, not what he expects. Like, what is your theory for what's going on with Torian Prince?
Yeah, you know, it's a long season, and sometimes – you know, teams go through little lulls and, you know, an individual may go through a lull and he was playing so well. You know, he had that great stretch where he was just on a tear. And, you know, I do, you know, feel like, you know, he hurt his finger pretty badly in that Laker game on that road trip. And I don't know, just, you know, maybe a lot of little things banged up and we just got to get him in a great mental place, get him confident, get him, you know, thinking about winning plays and, you know, doing all those things. I've always believed that when you're, you know, thinking about defense and thinking about rebounding and winning, and the offense will come. It just happens naturally. You know, if you're not thinking about those things, then sometimes you can press and just your mind isn't where it should be or could be to be most effective. So a lot of confidence in him. I think, you know, he's going to he will, you know, the roller coaster will go back up. I'm very confident of that. He's a great young player. So we'll just keep working with him. And you know, he wants to be great, so that's probably the most important thing.
We've got Coach Bud with us here on the WadeForward.com hotline, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I saw a stat, Coach, and it kind of jumped out at me when I saw this. Top 7 rookies for 2017 in player efficiency rating, and I don't know how they come up with this, but the number one rookie on the list is John Collins, ahead of Lauri Markkanen, ahead of Jason Tatum, guys that have had some really good years. Are you surprised when you hear that, or is that just how good John Collins has been?
Yeah, no, it's a little bit of both, you know, how they do that player efficiency and some of those things. Sometimes I even kind of like, now how exactly, what do they throw all of that into that? But there's no doubt. I mean, he shoots it at such a high percentage and he finishes around the rim and, you know, rebounding wise and offensive rebounding wise. So he does, you know, a lot of things that are really positive and I think, you know, lead to a great PER. And then there's, you know, I think, situations or things that maybe aren't incorporated in the stats where you're like, you know what, he needs to get so much better and he needs to work on this and improve there and all that. But it's great because no doubt he's doing a lot of things well. He's off to a great start. We're excited about him. And I keep saying it. He wants to get better. He comes in, he watches film, you know, he does his vitamins and, you know, I think he's improving as a passer. You know, he's hit some corner threes over the last 5 to 10 days, which is a huge step for him. You know, if he can, you know, shoot the ball and finish around the basket, you know, he's just going to be a really dynamic player. So his growth and improvement is just, you know, it's been really great.
On the Court with Coach Bud here on the Midday Show with Rick and John on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, home of the Hawks. And, Coach, I want you to know that you can help me win a fantasy basketball championship. I'm loaded in this league. It's a six-person starting lineup. I go Kemba Walker, Dennis Schroeder, Donovan Mitchell, Kevin Durant, Paul George. Good so far, right? Well, then we come to center. And it is a grab bag of Biombo and just guys. Okay, I started Frank Kaminsky, for crying out loud, last week and won with him. But there's this thing called position eligibility, Coach, and John Collins is only eligible at forward right now. If he gets only five starts at center, that's it, five starts, he will then become center eligible in my league. I will be able to play him at center. He will be a huge upgrade, and I will be able to win this fantasy championship. Coach, are you with me?
I'm totally with you. I'll call the commissioner now. We call him a five. We call him a center even when he's out there with Dwayne. So he is a five. He's a center. It's I can talk to the commissioner.
Coach, look.
You want me to start him next to your son?
Coach, I totally. I'm with you. I think he should already be in Yahoo leagues and in ESPN leagues. He is center, power forward eligible, but in CBS leagues, he is not. It's garbage. But so if you just five starts at center, that's all I need.
Okay. I'm going to put that into the coaches' meeting. We'll add it to the agenda.
My guy.
I'm sure that'll go up on the grease board somewhere at your new facility. Hey, make sure for Rick Kamla we get John at center so he can win his fantasy championship.
It's just five games.
Now, Coach, we know you're a huge sports fan outside of just being a coach in the NBA. Super Bowl Sunday coming up. You guys play at noon. Will you be back in Atlanta in time? Do you have any plans as a team to do something for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, everybody's been pulling out there. I guess you don't do a calculator with the clock. Whatever it is you do with your clock, and you figure out that the game starts at 12, we're done by this, and then we're on the plane, and then I think everybody is planning or thinks we're going to land with enough time to get home right about time kickoff. So I think, you know, the plan is, and I think because everybody's coming home, and you're never sure what time, you know, you go overtime, you go two overtimes. There's no big plans as a team, but I'm sure everybody's going to kind of get to their cars as fast as they can and get to their homes or wherever it is they're going to watch the game. And, you know, we've got some Eagles fans and a lot of our APT staff are New England fans. And so there's a lot of talking going on around here for sure. And I think everybody will be watching the game.
You got a prediction for the game? Rick and I have a little juice box agreement. He says blowout and New England's going to win. I got Philadelphia.
Yeah, I don't think blowout. I think I'm going New England, but I think a close game.
Coach, and it's crazy, man, because last year we took a Wade Ford bus, you know, like a tour bus from here to Houston, and it was, I believe, a Sunday, and that was that insane triple, quadruple overtime game, whatever it was, with Hawks and Knicks last year. And, of course, you remember that game. I can't remember if it was at New York or at Atlanta, but we were frantically trying to get NBA game time on a phone, on a computer. And then by the time we got it, then we were blocked because it said that we were in Atlanta and there was like some blackout thing. So we were like so frustrated that we couldn't watch that game. It just, when you said, I don't know, maybe the game goes to overtime, it took me back to that. But for you guys and for the sake of watching the Super Bowl, I hope that does not happen.
Yeah, no, we're looking for a nice, clean 48 minutes. Hawks win in the Madison Square Garden. Come home and watch the Super Bowl.
Sounds like a plan.
Coach, have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks a lot. That's On the Court with Coach Bud on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour of the program brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. When we get back from the break, a debate that raged on Twitter. It still has Rick fired up. Are you walking or are you just chilling on the escalator? We talk about that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com.
All righty then. We are the Midday Show with Rick and John on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And a little Aerosmith right here. You get it. You get the bit. We're going to talk escalators. But I got to tell you that the Slice of Life is brought to you, you, and you by Shane Company. Lower mine, not your budget, with an engagement ring from Shane Co., your friend in the jewelry business. We're here in the Kia Studios. And what's the name of that song again? How does the chorus
go? Love in an Elevator.
Yeah, yeah. Whoa. Well, we're talking about escalators.
Actually, the name of the song is Walk on an Escalator.
Love on an Escalator. Okay, see, if Emma would have gotten here on time, maybe it would have been Love on an Escalator rather than Love on an Elevator.
I could have gotten here 3 days ago, and I'm not that gay.
Could have had me singing this. Love on an Escalator.
Ah. You got the cracky voice like Steven Tyler. So, John, we now have dueling polls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you put up a poll
yep.
At I don't want to get fired. I can't
929.
Give you. Go to Google, put in Rick Camley. You will find. We literally can't tell you our Twitter handles. Mm-hmm. I know it's weird, but I'm compliant. John. And John's, I got totally blown out in terms of I'm a walk up and down the escalator guy. There's a lot of people that just chill on the escalator and they drive me nuts. Walk your fat butt up and down the escalator,
why do we
please.
Have to be fat?
Because anyway, so right now, John, and it's very early. This poll has been up for 8 minutes. Mm-hmm. I've got only 26 votes, and they're
well, it's now up to 40 votes on your poll.
Is it really?
Yeah.
So what is my poll saying right now?
Right now it says 35% walk up or down the stairs. 65% lazily stand there.
Okay, because I know that John's fan base might be on his Twitter might be a little culturally different than mine.
Uh-huh.
I believe that we have a lot of bleed over and a lot of carryover, but maybe just slightly a little culturally different than mine. So I wanted to.
So you think it's a cultural thing or
a lazy
thing?
I don't. I'm just saying the people that follow you. You know, being a South Florida dude and being the blackest white dude that I've ever met, it's just culturally different than my Twitter feed. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to test my Twitter followers mm-hmm. on this, and guess what? It's the same results.
Yeah.
Essentially, 2/3 of the people are lazy butts and aren't moving on the escalator, and 1/3 of us actually have ambition and are trying to go somewhere.
No, 1/3 of you are impatient jerks, and you're trying to make some. The escalator is set up for you to chill and get up to the top. The staircase for you guys that want to be in shape all of a sudden and want to do Pilates in the morning, take your ass 2 steps over to the door, open it up, and go in the pee-infested staircase and walk up the stairs.
This is the best debate ever. Ever.
There's no debate. They didn't make a mechanical escalator for you to run up it.
I'm with Coach Bud, man. Coach Bud's a walker up and down the escalator.
He said every now and then.
Great question by you. Have we heard from the Preacher Man on this? Preacher Man, are you a chill on the... No, we have. You want to kick John Michaels down
really,
the stairs.
You're talking about Preacher Man who has the patience of none, asking him if he's walking. Like, Preacher Man's in a hurry to do everything.
Preacher Man, if you are at a stoplight and the light turns green, let me count it out before you honk. 1/1,000. No, Preacher Man, it's green. 1/1,000, 2/1,000, 3/1,000, 4/1,000.
I was never that guy until I moved to Atlanta.
So are you 1/1,000 or are you 5/1,000?
Oh, it doesn't get to 5.
It doesn't get to 5, no. Does it?
It might get to 3.
You honk at me, I'll just sit there. Like, I literally will sit for another 3 or 4 seconds. Go ahead and honk. Where are you going to go? And then if you try to go around me, I'll gun it so you can't go around me.
Oh, and we wonder.
You see me drive. I think I got you.
Yeah, you're a maniac.
We wonder why there's road rage in America. we want to take calls on this. Light me up. Light John up. 404-741-09 tonight. We'll take a call or two here. Call the Preacher Man. Let's get interactive with our slice of life.
Mark Owens, are you a walker or a chiller?
No, I may walk up the steps, but slowly. Like, you ever done that thing where you've gone up a flight of steps? I was somewhere over the weekend. Oh, was it Chop Fest over the weekend?
And you breathe heavy? Yes, every day.
Yes. Have you ever walked up, like, one flight of steps with somebody, and you get to the top, and you're like, God almighty, that was one flight of stairs. What happened?
No, but I don't deal with that because I walk up and down escalators.
But then there's some days where you can jump up 3 or 4 flights of stairs, and you're like, yeah, I'm fine. I don't know why that, like, today, I had to park on the blue level because, you know, this Colony Square, and there is no
well,
parking.
Well, you were late.
Oh, there's that.
So I ran up 4 flights of stairs to get here.
Okay, run is a very relative term.
Yeah.
Hey, get out of my physical fitness. If I say I ran up the stairs, by God, I ran up the stairs. I may have stopped at the top of each stair.
Yeah, right.
But I ran, you know what?
You ran about as much as the people downstairs are deconstructing, or about as fast as the people are building a bathroom, that for some reason on the floor in our building, it's going to take 2 months to rebuild a bathroom. There's 4 stalls in there, 2 crappers, 2 stander uppers, and then a sink. How does that take 2 months?
The first week was just to get rid of all the cockroaches.
Well, there's that.
That too.
They could have hired you. Maybe I did run to Chick-fil-A before I missed the breakfast service, all right? But no, I may. You get on the escalator. If I'll take the stairs if I can, but I'll just do the walk up the stairs on the escalator. I don't run up the stairs.
I'm
I don't
not
ride.
Running. You
exactly.
just casually I, walk just up the escalator.
1 foot in front of the
yeah.
other.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny talking about stairs. Last year we went to New York, took the boys for their joint birthday, so that was it. And we went to the Statue of Liberty because Tyler said that's what he wanted to do because, you know, he was 8 at the time and he'd never seen the Statue of Liberty, so God help him, he need to go see it. But there are a lot of steps in the Statue of Liberty. And the only person that had issue with steps was the wife. She's like, how am I this out of shape? And the ironic part is, with her job, she does a lot of walking. She is, like, on her feet all day. She has all these different units that she has to travel to and, you know, do surveys and walks. And she probably puts in 3 or 4 miles a day on her feet. Me, I might put in 1/2 mile. But, yeah, she was out of breath the whole time. So it's funny how some people can take stairs, no problem. And other people are just like, God, these stairs are killing me.
A couple of questions on the Solomon Brothers Diamond Tech sign at 404-741-0929. Where do we stand on moving sidewalks? Like the ones at the airport where they...
Same way. I'm walking.
If I'm in a hurry, I'm walking. If I'm not in a hurry, like if I'm going on vacation to Cancun, I will ride that thing and just... Now, I'll move off to the side for those of you. Bob Business has got to hurry up, and he's got his 11 carry-ons. How about take 2 less carry-ons, and then you could chill on the people mover?
Well, it clearly states on those people movers that if you're not moving, you stand to the right.
Now, I'll stand off to the side.
I literally, if I'm the only one in that long corridor, I will go to the walking escalator, and I will walk. If it's busy, I just walk right down the middle. I just cut out the middle, man. I don't want to deal with turtles slowing me down. I just walk down the middle.
I'm with John on the riding escalators, the flat ones anyway. Sometimes I'll walk on them, and other times I'll just move over and just ride it because sometimes you're just not in a hurry.
Mark Owens, moving sidewalks at the airport, are you walking or riding?
I like walking on them because it feels like you're going double time. Fast
and
I'm
it's kind of bouncy. It's kind of bouncy too. It kind of.
So he's like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber. Remember when he's running in the van? Look, you can feel like you're running really fast. That's Mark Owens on the moving escalator.
Fast I'm walking. This is awesome.
Ridiculous.
You know what's ridiculous is Jim Carrey's teeth in Dumb and Dumber. I mean, just think about the big old chipped tooth. It's so hilarious. It's so aggressive.
I love the guys that are telling me, don't be lazy. Move your blank to the side.
Yeah, no. That's what I'm saying.
First of all, these escalators are slim. I'm not very slim, so I take up the whole staircase.
Yeah, the crazy thing
these are not wide escalators. No, they are one person.
The crazy thing is most of the people that are just chilling and being lazy on the escalator actually need to walk up and down the escalator.
Are you trying to say I need to walk up and down the escalator?
Maybe.
I'm in better shape than the rest of the show. I'm just here to tell you. I'm just wide. That's all there is. I've got a low set. As Mike Mayock would say, he's got a solid base. I've got a solid base. I am a run plugger with the best of them.
You're not lighting the cakes, are you?
Oh, no, I've got a great center of gravity. Like I'm weighted down like an anchor. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Ricardo Allen, is he a must-keep for the Falcons? We'll break that down. And also, of our free agents, who are guys that are must-keep? We'll talk about that next on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Dukes and Bell, afternoon.
We're back to the Kia Studios, y'all. Rick and John throwing our midday party, and we're talking escalators. We're going to talk Falcons free agency in a moment. Nope, no change on my Twitter feed. Rick Hamla, go find it, wherever it is. Over 100 votes now, John.
At MLB Rick.
I love MLB, but that's not what it is. Here's what I wrote. One of my pet peeves is people treating the escalator like they are getting a free ride at the fair. Which type of escalator person are you? Walk up slash down stairs, lazily stand there. Walk up and down the stairs is 32%. Lazily stand there is 68%. It shouldn't shock us, right? America has this stereotype of being a completely lazy country.
So your fan base is lazier than mine.
That's what I guess we're getting to the bottom of it all with that.
Yeah.
But I got a story to tell you. Real quick, we'll get into Falcons, and we'll take your calls. If you guys want to talk escalators, Falcons, we're here for you, man. Yesterday, I'm leaving, and we're talking about escalators all the time. And I see a 70-year-old man, 75, what, it's 70-plus, a rickety old man. And I say this affectionately. The guy literally could barely walk because I saw him struggle to walk to the escalator. And then... No, he didn't lazily stand there. This 70-plus-year-old rickety old man who could barely walk walked down the escalator. You're 35. You have 2 legs that work. Use them on the escalator.
You know, another poll that is up on Rick and John 929 on Twitter, at Rick and John 929, brought to you by our good friends at Vision Computer. We're going to look ahead about a day from now. Our Vision Computer Twitter poll for Friday, in honor of the Super Bowl, we're back to letting you guys pick the music.
Yes.
So Friday music picked by the fans, that is back. So we already have it up right now. You go pick what you want to hear all day tomorrow. In honor of the Super Bowl, is it going to be because he's performing at halftime, Justin Timberlake?
And his album comes out tomorrow. Not that I'm counting down. I'll have it downloaded by the time I get in the car tomorrow, but that's neither here nor there.
Is it going to be Pink? There's another option. She's singing the national anthem.
Yep. Ooh.
Is it going to be, because of your Super Bowl bet, a mix of Jimmy Buffett and Florida Georgia Line?
Super Boo.
Or finally, just because it never wins, EDM Transfer House.
should you
and
just,
it won't win again.
Should you just put Sandstorm there? You know, the...
Just Dardu.
Should you just put that one? Because that's actually a song people know.
At Rick and John, 929 on Twitter, our Vision Computer Twitter poll. And right now, leading...
Justin Timberlake, 60%, right?
38% of the votes right now for Justin Timberlake.
What's wrong with you people?
Close vote.
Plenty of time. How about this one? A complete tie between Florida Georgia Line and Jimmy Buffett at 22%. Also at 22%, not dead last for the first time, EDM Trance and House. Pink and last right now at 18%, but you can change it.
You know why EDM's not last? The very first like when you put the Vision Computers Twitter poll up, some group said, I play EDM, liked, and I think retweeted the tweet. So EDM might actually have a puncher's chance this week, although I think Justin Timberlake will end up being at about 45 to 50% by the time it's all said and done.
Just to watch you two squirm, I'm pulling hard for Buffett and Florida Georgia Line.
Yeah, I got to go vote right now.
That'll be a sick day because I'm feeling a little coffee at this point.
Coffee, not the drink.
No, just a little hoarse. All right, let's talk some Falcons here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Vaughn McClure, ESPN writer, does a good job with the Falcons here, has an article up, and it's titled, it said, Falcons could reward safety Ricardo Allen with a long-term deal. Now, remember, Allen is a restricted free agent, but the Falcons could reward him with a long-term deal either heading into this year or at some point during the season. Rico only made $615,000, which was a flat-out bargain for a starting safety in the NFL as an exclusive rights free agent. And the Falcons could at least place a tender on him. And right now the tender would probably be a second-round pick, meaning if somebody were to put a contract offer out and the Falcons didn't match it, the Falcons would then receive a second-round pick for Ricardo Allen. With the tender, second-round tender's worth about $2.5 million, could be as high as $3 million. And the deadline for a restricted free agent is April 20th, and the deadline for a team to withdraw the tender would be June the 15th. Here's what I'll say when you think about Rico Allen. He is an absolute must-have back on this defense, period. I know the numbers may not be there as far as interceptions, but his impact to me goes way deeper than that. Look back a year ago in the Super Bowl run. How many times when the defense would be called is Rico running up telling Debo, you got to be here, telling Devondre, no, slide out there. He literally got the entire defense set up and then would run back to his position and still cover ground. This year he didn't have to do it quite as much, but you saw the field impact even more because you had the game where you had, I think Dez got hurt, Brian Poole may have had a concussion, and all of a sudden you go, all right, where do we go at corner? We've only got one other corner. Oh, no, we'll take Ricardo Allen, who originally was drafted as a cornerback on this team. We'll slide him down the corner. And you could argue that Ricardo Allen was as good as anybody else we had playing cornerback. You cannot allow Rico to leave this football team. And I know that's a lot for a guy that doesn't come up with a lot of turnovers. He might be priority number one for me to make sure that he's back on this team.
I don't know about priority number one, but he's I've got four guys that I got to have back, and he's one of the four. And there was a conversation that was had with Duke Riley in advance of last season, and he talked about how Rico Allen was always the first guy there, and Duke Riley, being an ambitious go-getter, showed up to the facility in Flowery Branch at the same time Rico Allen did. It was either 5 or 6 in the morning, well in advance of when everybody was supposed to be there, and Rico was essentially a coach, you know, slash player, helping Duke with the playbook, helping Duke just get up to speed with NFL football. And also Rico Allen has been credited for helping Deion Jones, Keanu O'Neal. He's an extra. He's not just a solid player, and he's not a great player. He's not an excellent player. He's a solid player. But he's also an extra coach, as John mentioned, on the field, off the field, in the DB room, in the defensive room. So I think he's a very high priority. And, John, when you say second-round tender at $2.5 to $3 million,
it's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer. I am totally fine giving him a raise. Rico Allen this past year made $615,000. Does that sound right to anybody?
No.
That he was one of the best bargains in the NFL last year. It's time for Rico to become a millionaire. I've met his wife. She's awesome. I've met his child. He's just got a nice young family. Let's hook up Rico. He deserves it. But, John, here's the other side of that. Nobody, I know I just said a ton of awesome things about Rico Allen, and I meant all of it. Nobody is giving up a second-round pick for Rico Allen. Nobody. It's not happening.
Yeah, you're probably correct.
Nobody is giving up a second round pick for
but
Rico
Allen.
But
it's much like last year. What was the tender on Taylor Gabriel? Wasn't it like a first or not? It was either a second or a third round
something
pick.
Something like that, yeah.
And nobody was going to touch Taylor Gabriel, and he ended up making a year ago $2.7 million. And guess what? That's about what you want. That's
yeah,
what
I think he had the same scenario as Rico.
I think he had the exact same scenario. And what that is, it's a fail-safe for the team. Now, the team's not going to go out and go, ah, we'll put a six-round tender. Because Rico Allen would be gone that quick.
He really would.
I think anything third round or lower. Third round, a team's really going to think about it and go, I could get a starting free safety in this league. A guaranteed starting free safety. And pay him, if it's a third round tender, probably a mil eight, a mil nine, somewhere in there. Yeah, they would snatch up Rico Allen. A second round pick, because teams value draft choices so much in this league, somebody would really think twice about it, even at $2.5 or $3 million. And I agree with you. I don't know that another team would walk in and say, we'll throw a second rounder at you.
That team doesn't exist. I'm telling you right now. We talk about the value chart for first round picks, and it's so nutty. You got to give up a first, a second, a third, a future fifth, a future seventh. Come on. The value chart for a second-round pick, I'm sorry, Rico, is out of your pay grade. But $2.5 million to $3 million for Rico Allen is perfect. That's exactly where he should be. That would be like a 5X or 6X improvement on what he's making right now. Wouldn't you be happy with multiplying your salary by 5 or 6?
Absolutely.
Sign me up for that. So this is a player-friendly and team-friendly scenario.
Can we get one of those tags here in the radio business where you get an RFA tag and they say, hey, we're going to put this tender on? If I got 3 or 4 times my salary right now, dude, we'd actually have the midday night out. Because I'd have enough cash to make sure Paul's wife is taken care of, to make sure Mark's wife's taken care of, to make sure my wife is taken care of, to make sure Charity's taken care of. And they would go, you know what? John was so awesome. You guys just go do whatever you want on a Saturday.
Well, you better not call 3 separate pool boys, okay, to take care of our better halves. And
you're the only one that has a pool.
We don't have a pool anymore. We got a lake. But Mark Owens would still be buzzkilled, and there's nothing your money could do about it because, Mark, of course, you would drop the excuse that you always drop on everybody.
I got a game.
We really do need to make this. Like, serious talk, we do need to make this either midday day out, like,
when do we ever do anything serious on this
show? Here's the thing. The NCAA tournament is coming up. There is a built-in excuse on Thursday and Friday of the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament.
We'll be out regardless on location.
I get that, but don't we get off the air at noon those days because we run the tournament games? Isn't that how it's worked in the last couple of years? How about that day we make sure that, all right, we're off at noon. Honey, we're going to have a day out. We stay and do whatever we do, go find happy hour. Mm-hmm. Preacher Man will tap out by 6:30 because he's old. Mark's already told you by 8:45 he's done.
He's got a game.
I got a bad hip right now, so I'm only going to probably make it till about 7:30.
Do tell.
I don't. I'm making that up. It sounds better if I have an injury.
And it's not hard for us to believe.
No, it's not.
What's that Friday? What's the first day of the tournament, the Friday? Do you have the date yet?
Yeah, I'm sure. It's like March. The second weekend in March.
So probably like March 10th?
Yeah, right away.
That's the first March 9th is the first Friday second Friday of the month.
It's probably March 9th. It may be the weekend following that.
You never know. But serious talk, since we're seriously talking here. Mark Owens, you did go too short on the beard. You did. He's got.
Wow.
I don't like it. You're my boy. I'm just keeping it real. You got like kind of a George Michael, the wispy thing going on. And
it
I'm
is a careless
you,
whisper.
I'm used
back.
To you having a.
I won't let you down, freedom.
Have you seen Keanu, the movie I taught with the gangster cat?
Yes.
You saw it, Emo, right?
Yeah. I tried. I got minutes into that, and I go,
90,
this is stupid.
It's a 90-minute Key and Peele skit.
And what's wrong with that?
But 90 minutes. Those best skits are 4 minutes.
How funny is the George Michael part of that? When he's trying to appease the gangsters
way
in the backseat.
Too long. That scene went way. You could tell they were out of ideas. The script
oh,
they need
stop
to fill
it.
Time.
You're such a hater. You are such a hater. All right, we're talking free agency for our Falcons, man. John, my short list is Claiborne, and I got to figure it out like this.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian Claiborne last year made $4.25 million, needs a raise. Let's get him to $5.5 million, something like that. Nice little raise. Couple logs on top. Don Terry Poe, you were at $8 last year, pay cut, $5.5, $6 million. All right, so that kind of comes out in the wash with him and Claiborne. Rico Allen, the raise that we just talked about. Matt Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot let him go.
Nope.
If he wants to come back, and he's old, so he might retire, but I doubt it. We have to have him back. John thought the MVP was Deion Jones. I thought the MVP was Matt Bryant. Of our playoff win of the entire season, he's automatic. I would probably, Justin Tucker of Baltimore, I would rather have than Matt Bryant. That might be it in the entire NFL. I love the guy. And last year, John, he was at $2.8 million. Here's the thing. That is an unbelievable wage for a kicker, and yeah. I don't care how good you are. So I can't give you a raise. I'm going to give you the exact same amount. Do we have a deal? And to me, John, it should just be 1 year, 2.8, 1 year, 2.8, 1 year, 2.8. You know what I mean? Maybe right. build in a little cost of living raise for him, but I ain't going $4 million on a kicker.
So let me go back. You're saying 5.5 for Clay, 5.5 potentially for Post. So mm-hmm. That's 11 mil.
There were 12 plus last year.
So just say 2.5 for Matt Bryant, just for a round number. Mm-hmm. That puts you at 13.5 mil. They only have about $16.5 million in salary cap. That's not including signing
Correct.
These guys. So that would eat up all your money and not really leave you much for anything else.
I got to keep mine. Mine are more important than what's out there. Mine have gotten me to the Super Bowl. Mine have gotten me to a Super Bowl win that didn't work out.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want these guys. I trust these guys. I know I can win, get to the top of the mountain with these guys. I don't know that I can get to the top of the mountain with some other player from another team.
Now, mind you, that doesn't include potentially changing Matt Ryan's salary and lessening his cap hit this year. That doesn't include Andy Levitre and potentially restructuring his deal and saving some cap space with him. So they're going to find some creative ways to make money. I put my list like this. I do think Adrian Claiborne's number one on internal free agents that I want back. And I'll go through the list of who's here. Poe, Claiborne, Bryant, Taylor Gabriel, Kamal
Bye.
Ishmael,
Bye.
Andre Roberts,
Bye.
Courtney Upshaw,
eh.
Ataba Rubin,
mm.
Austin Pastor,
Bye.
Bleedy Ray Wilson,
Bye.
Spoon,
Bye.
Leon McFadden,
don't even know who he is,
Jordan Tripp,
Bye.
Derek Coleman,
Bye.
Nick Williams.
Bye. Are you with me on the buys?
Not all the way.
We can't. Who did I say buy on that you want back?
I'm trying to go back. Kamal Ishmael, I want him back. Special teamer, does a little bit of everything.
I'm 50-50 on him, but I can't give him a raise. He was at $2 million last year.
Well, that's about what he'll
did
get.
Did we get $2 million worth out of Kamal Ishmael?
Probably not.
Maybe kind of, sort of,
yeah.
not. So I can't give him a raise. I'll bring him back at 1.5.
I wouldn't mind bringing Spoon back. Although he didn't dress much, dressed only 3 games. I like Spoon, leadership,
should
all that good stuff.
Should we just go ahead and put a clipboard in his hand?
We could.
Should we just go ahead and put a headset on him?
I know.
I mean, is that where it's at?
I know you're not a Nick Williams guy, but again, I think in the along the terms of special teams and guys that play a lot.
I'm ready for something new.
Okay.
I'm ready for something new.
So you would literally re-sign like 4 guys and
yeah.
everybody else start over.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Interesting.
I mean, or they can come back on my terms for low dough.
They're going to come back on your terms anyway.
Yeah, man.
That's the whole point. You just walking in getting double your salary. I'll tell you the 4 that I have, the order I have them in. You might be surprised. It's Claiborne and then who else? And then we'll take some calls. 404-741-0929. Of the Falcons free agents, who's your priority? That's next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
I'm pretty sure we are underdogs in this game, but that's Philadelphia. Through every injury, through everything everyone's gone through this year, everyone just said Philly can't do it. We hear it. We get it. I get asked questions every week about it.
Well, guess what? Nick Foles, or should I say Nick Fools, Nick Folded, Nick Falls. How about that on Sunday? Here's the thing. I'm a little ticked off with Mark Owens. And by the way, Rock Foles, Nick Fold, whatever the heck your name is. I'm one of the guys saying that you can't win this game. Okay, so I am one of those guys that you're talking about. Why would Mark Owens start our Falcons free agency segment with a Nick Foles soundbite after Nick Foles and the Eagles dispatched? You like how I said that? Dispatched.
Mm-hmm.
Got a little Minnesotan right there.
Yeah.
Dispatched our Falcons out of the play. Why would he go with a Nick Folded soundbite?
Is he subliminally listening to the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line who's saying replacing a quarterback might be something
what?
The Falcons need to do? Is that what you're doing, Mark? You're subliminally hearing these messages?
No.
Thank goodness.
I just realized that this is Super Bowl week.
Mm-hmm.
And about this time next week, we will have no more
sound.
Current football talk.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to rattle through as much sound as possible to get maybe this is like a subconsciously I'm trying to get myself pumped up for the game because I'm really not excited about the game.
Nobody
so maybe
is.
If we hear some sound, maybe if you hear some people talking about it, maybe Nick Foles, maybe Brady Belichick. Maybe that's what we need to get pumped up, because I really don't care. I put a poll on my...
It's definitely not pumping me up, by the way.
On my personal Twitter account. We'll just say it's my first name, last initial, 6262. Asking what people's plans were for the Super Bowl. You know, you do it at a house party. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be doing it, watching the game at your house? Overwhelmingly, 78%, 76% of the votes coming in, of the 250 votes, say they're watching it at home because I don't care.
I have been invited to a Super Bowl party, and I'm considering it. It is a kid-friendly party. The issue is the Super Bowl starts at 6:30, which means it really starts at like 6:48.
10:30, you're getting out of there.
At best, you're getting out of there at 10:30. And, you know, our job, we have to watch the game.
Do we?
Yes, because we're going to talk about the game on Monday. We're going to break down the commercials.
What if I drink so much that I pass out like at halftime?
That would be my plan for Super Bowls in past.
Like, but what? Is that okay, though? Am I fired if that happens?
No, because I'll carry us through. I'll be able to talk extemporaneously about the Super Bowl.
Well, it's going to be a blowout. There's not going to be much damage.
But here's the issue about going to a Super Bowl party. So if you leave at 10:30, that means game ends, I'm getting in the car, and I'm out of there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 40 minutes to get home to where I live.
Also, it's like 40 minutes to say goodbye and leave the party that you're at, right? I mean, it's like you're a popular guy.
Unless you're doing the Terry Fox dip, where you just
And that's why he does the dip, yeah. Is because he doesn't want a glad hand for a half hour to have to leave a place.
Preacher Man did that at our house when I had the football party or the boxing party. He did say goodbye, but
You're a liar. I said I'm out. why are you saying that?
You did the drive-by goodbye. You were like, all right, guys, I'm out. Gone. Like, you didn't do a lot of the bro hugs.
Nope.
You didn't have an extra drink.
Well, we only see him every day.
I was drinking Diet Mountain Dew, as I recall, because I was driving, and driving from my house to your house is not a short feat, even though the mileage.
It's what, maybe 13 miles tops?
I think it's like 11.
Yeah, it took like 45 minutes.
It takes like 45 minutes to get there.
We try to change the world daily here in the Kia Studios with our midday party. I actually want to try to change the world right now. I think Diet Mountain Dew rocks. John thinks Mountain Dew rocks.
I actually like Diet Mountain Dew.
Do
as
you
well.
Really? Okay, so the regular Mountain Dew is too sugary for me.
No such
it
thing.
It is nowhere. You can get Diet Mountain Dew at Taco Bell. You can get Diet Mountain Dew at Bojangles. Nobody else has it. Chick-fil-A doesn't have it.
Coke
McDonald's
state.
Doesn't
That's
have it.
That's why. It's a Coke state.
I'm just saying, like, I demand more Diet Mountain Dew at fast food places.
You know how, and this is a, boy, this is going to open me up for public criticism. You know how much fatter I was when I worked at the Pepsi plant over in Stone Mountain? And in the vending machine there, like literally there's vending machines everywhere. It's a soda factory. The vending machines, a 20-ounce soda was a quarter.
Hmm.
So all I would do in the morning is find all the change in my car and just go plink, 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 plink. And I'd grab like 10 Mountain Dews.
How much did you weigh?
A lot.
No, I mean, seriously, like, you're like 240-ish now, right?
Probably 270.
Damn!
Yeah.
And so was the, like, I told y'all, like, when I stopped drinking sugary sodas, 10 pounds evaporated immediately. Like, within 10 days, I lost 10 pounds just from stopping drinking fully leaded Coke and Mountain Dew and all that kind of stuff. Is that what happened to you, too?
No, it got to the point where my body started to hurt. I was drinking probably 6 20 ounces a day.
Oh,
easy.
My God.
That's called addiction. Yeah, it's called being at work, and there was nothing better to do, and it was a quarter. And why am I going to pay a quarter for an Aquafina when I could get a deliciously tasting Mountain Dew for the same quarter? It was also stress. I wasn't a real big fan of my job. I was working like 16 hours a day and wasn't making a whole lot of money. It was called stress at home. I wasn't really happy with what my home life was. So there was all of that involved, and I did a lot of binge eating and then binge. I would get off work on Friday instead of being boyfriend because I was miserable where I was at. I'm making every phone. Dude, we're hitting the Velvet Room tonight? Velvet Room? I got you. And it literally would turn into me going, I'll pay if you come. Just please show up. I need this. I cannot go out. I can't stay home. That's what I would do.
All right.
And then we were on call 24 hours a day. And
really?
They give us this stupid company
sucks.
Phone. So at 2 a.m. on a Saturday, hey, this is Quick Trip Store 609. We don't have any cold six-pack Pepsis. Dude, I am sleeping. Well, can you get me Pepsi? No. We'll open up again on Monday. How about that? Call me Monday. And I'd get those calls constantly. Yeah, miserable, miserable time.
All right, so let's talk a little Falcons here. We have some phone calls. We're going to take them in a moment. I gave you my list. We're talking Falcons free agency. I'm not prioritizing these guys in any particular order, but I want Claiborne back with a raise. I want Poe back with a pay cut. I want Rico Allen back with a raise, and I want my Matt Bryant back at the same wage, $2.8 million that he was at last year. Now give me your list.
My list is Claiborne number one, and yeah, he'll probably get a raise. 5.5 sounds about right. But I'm doing it a 2 or 3 year deal. I can't do long term. He's 29. I love Clay, but he's 29. Rico is number two for me. And again, you talk money, it's pennies, relatively speaking, for what you're talking about in the NFL. Number three for me is Matt Bryant, and that's where I draw the line. Everybody else after that for me, okay, I'd like Courtney Upshaw, I'd like Dontari Poe. I can't blow all of my free agency money just bringing my guys back.
So are you okay that the other side of that is if you let Poe go, now you have to take a DT,
fine.
I think, in the first round.
Fine.
Like, you have flexibility. If you have Poe back, you have flexibility. You can go O-line. You have flexibility. You can maybe go best available or whatever it is. But you agree with me. If you let Poe go, you have to get a power pig late in the first round.
If you let Poe go, I think Courtney Upshaw is a must-re-sign because
Agreed.
He gives you depth. And you do have to take an early-round defensive tackle that can walk in and be your starter right away. Let's take a couple of calls.
404-741-0929.
Of the shopping list for the Falcons, who must you have back from this year's team? Jeremiah, our boy, leading us off on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Jeremiah, how you doing?
How you doing, gentlemen?
Doing good.
Right.
Please allow me to retort on the Matt Bryant. Kamala, Mr. Kamala.
Yes, sir.
I think Matt Bryant is you got to get him back. And I don't think you should give him a pay cut. Look what the man's did all year. I think he's clutch when he has to be. And I totally disagree bringing him back.
Hold on, Jeremiah. I didn't say a pay cut. I said bring him back at the same wage. So I can't give you a raise because you're old and I got other bills to pay. But I'll bring you back at the same 2.8. So are you with me now, Jeremiah?
Yes, sir, I'm with you. I don't like the old part. Hell, I'm old, but I can still do a headshot of 1,000 yards. Come on. No, okay, bring him back at the same if you want to, but I think he's an asset. So thank you, sir.
Jeremiah, we appreciate it. He said he could – what did he say? He could shoot at 1,000 feet?
I bet he could. Didn't he say he was a sniper in his military days?
So that don't go away.
I believe that.
That don't go
away. It's like
away.
Riding a bike, right?
I'm pretty sure it is. Now, Paul has seen the target. I have a problem. I shoot to the right too much, so I will destroy the right side.
Kind of like your drive on the golf course? Does it spray to the right a little bit?
It does. It does. I got leakage when it comes to the golf.
Does it squirt to the right a little bit?
It does from time to time. Another guy texted and said, hey, with Vic Beasley moving to defensive end, why is nobody else talking about drafting another linebacker?
Duke Riley.
Yeah, that's exactly. The hope right now is Duke Riley takes the step from year one to year two.
Sorry, bro. First, second, third round picks have to start for your football team.
Yeah,
they do.
And with the amount of nickel that teams play, and the Falcons play 60-65% nickel, it's going to be Campbell and Jones. Those are your nickel backers. Duke, when you're in base, you don't really need another guy right now. Maybe you draft a depth guy that takes over for Spoon or takes over for a Jordan Tripp. You don't need somebody coming up. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Brandon on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game. Brandon, how you doing?
Doing all right, gentlemen. I got three moves I'd make. Andy Levitre would be a casualty. He is gone. That's $7 million. Ty Sombrello, who I like to call the orange cone in the middle of the road, he's gone. And Matt Schaub is gone. That's going to free up $10 million right there off the top. Then I'm going to take a look at two guys that aren't necessarily great, but you might could lowball them for some money, like Adrian Waddle and DJ Fluker. I wouldn't pay either one of them more than about $1.5 million a year with an incentive-laden contract. But I would take a look at that. And if you really want to win, it's time to stop playing by the rules. Get down and dirty. Do what we do in T-Town. Pay some people under the table. go straight to some of these people and say, look, sign an average contract. I'll pay you under the table. We'll do what we do. And to me, if you want to win, don't be afraid to get dirty because we know with the Patriots and other people, they don't take away trophies and they don't redact wins. So let's do what we got to do. Rise up.
Brandon, we love it.
Cheaters, man.
Here's the only thing with that. Unlike the NCAA, who goes, Alabama, we can't really come down too hard on them. The NFL doesn't care what franchise you are. They will go.
I'll say this. I talk all the time about how I like cheating in college football. But when I say that, I don't mean on the field. And I've said this a million times. People get this twisted. I'm talking about dirty recruiting. Right. I'm a fan of that. I don't like cheating in the NFL, like trying to gain a competitive advantage that you should not have. I believe that once you get to this level, you should put your hat on and your shoulder pads on and go out there and try to win it fair and square.
Tyson Brill only cost you $959,000. I don't think he's gone anywhere.
And you gave up a fifth for him.
Right. The other two, Andy Levitre and Matt Schaub, it'll be interesting to see what happens with them.
The super quick point I wanted to make, Shaquem Griffin, the kid out of UCF. I want him in the sixth round as that sort of luxury backup special team slash linebacker guy.
I'll take that. College football cheat sheet coming up next. Big Ten, most pressure on coach, player, program, Nets. 92.9thegame.com.
John have the latest news from college football and want to hear from you. 404-741-0929. This is the College Football Cheat Sheet on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And we are back, Rick and John, throwing our midday party, talking a little college football here. And the College Football Cheat Sheet brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC Tune-Up. Another way they make you smile at rsandrews.com. It is Pressure Week as we put each Power 5 conference under the pressure watch. And today it is the Big Ten. Coach, program, and player. Who has the most pressure in the Big Ten? John, start us off with program.
Program would be the Michigan Wolverines. The Michigan Wolverines. I heard last year, they only have five guys back. They can't figure out who their quarterback is. But, you know, they're going to be really good. No, they weren't. They were 8-4. They were pretty mediocre. They didn't win a game of substance all year long. And they opened this year, I believe, against Notre Dame.
Was that a shot of Florida?
Yes, because Florida was a, what, 5-win football team, 4-win? They didn't beat anybody that mattered. When they beat Florida that week, it seemed like a big win. Then you realize Florida was a big steaming pile of poo, and Michigan wasn't much better than them. Michigan's got pressure to keep up with Ohio State and Penn State. Because of what's going on at Michigan State, that third spot is there. But you got to remember now, and actually they're behind Wisconsin as well. Let me not sell the Badgers short. Because of Michigan State, potentially, with unfortunately what's going on at their school, taking a step back, Michigan is there to jump up ahead. But don't forget Nebraska now, with the hiring of Scott Frost, wants to get back to championship-level football. It may take a year or two, but I think Nebraska is going to be a program on the ascent. Michigan better get it right now, or they're going to be in the middle of the pack of the Big Ten.
To me, John, I've got Ohio State as the program with the most pressure in the Big Ten, because there is only one expectation for this team every year, and it's to win it all, and they haven't done that. In fact, the last 2 years, John, it's been embarrassing. You give up 50-plus to Iowa. That is why they were not in the college football playoff. You don't need to analyze it beyond that. You lose in to Iowa, giving up 50-plus points. The committee's like, sorry, I can't put you in. John, the year before, we didn't think that they should have been in the playoff, and they get spanked 31-0 by Clemson. So right now, I'm looking at Ohio State like kind of sort of fraudulent and kind of sort of overrated, and like I don't trust them anymore. So to me, John, there's a ton of pressure on Ohio State to get back to the playoff and to be that team and be the vaunted Ohio State, you know, the Cowboys of college football, where, you know, and I'm talking about the Dallas Cowboys, where they're sort of just that team that everybody loves to hate. They're not that team right now.
And that's a really good call with Ohio State. They're a program that does have a lot of pressure on them because it's national title or bust, and they're thought of with Alabama and Clemson and all of those other ones. M.O.
You got it. We're on the same page on that one, Ohio State. You left out of the top four? Prove it. Prove that you have to be there. Beat the teams you're supposed to beat, and then get into the top four and win a national championship.
All right, let's move on. And our pressure watch on the Big Ten, in our college football cheat sheet, coach under the most pressure.
You'll see a recurring theme with mine. He's the fraudulent coach that wears khaki pants and does stupid satellite camps and takes shirtless pictures everywhere. And then what he also does is lose to games that really matter.
I got to be honest. I tasted a booger yesterday. I blew my nose.
What?
And it's just like a little booger. Like I blew my nose and it got on my lip. And so I tasted it from being on my lip. And then, of course, I took a napkin and like took it out. But actually, inadvertently tasted a booger yesterday. It made me think of Jim Harbaugh, and here we are talking about the booger eater.
Here's the problem. The guy before him, Brady Hoke, and Jim Harbaugh have almost the exact same record through 3 years. They've equally won nothing. Recruiting class-wise, they were almost exactly the same. You're into 4 years of the Jim Harbaugh build at Michigan. It's all your kids. If he doesn't have a quarterback, that's your own fault for not getting the right quarterback in the system. Michigan needs to be a Big Ten championship game participant and potentially a college football playoff participant, or Jim Harbaugh, his star continues to go.
I agree with everything you said, and I would also agree that Harbaugh probably is the coach with the most pressure, but for the sake of good radio, I want to take a different path. Mark D'Antonio. Mm-hmm. Mark D'Antonio, if you really break it down, probably has the most pressure on him of any coach in college football, maybe college sports. Because, of course, Mark D'Antonio might lose his job via the scandal at Michigan State with, a possible, I want to stress, possible cover-up that extended. Obviously, the president who stepped down and the athletic director who stepped down recognized that there was some culpability there. Otherwise, they would not have dropped those seven-figure jobs, okay? That's not how life works. So Izzo and D'Antonio are dug in. We didn't do it. We've reported everything that's been reported to us. Okay, we'll see if that actually is the case. And by the way, Mark D'Antonio, Michigan State fans like to win. They like to win a lot. They were in the playoff a couple of years ago. This isn't a ragtag football program where they're happy with 8-9 wins. So to me, I'll take the D'Antonio stance on most pressure for a coach.
M.O.
The Jim Harbaugh wonder. Khakis, I know it's bad radio, but I could not convince myself to say Urban Meyer or Michigan State, but I got to go Jim Harbaugh. You know, enough of the antics.
What's your least favorite thing about Jim Harbaugh?
Everything.
Because he just seems like he's more – he wants to be in front of the camera. He wants to be more of a look at me, look how crazy I am, look how wacky I am. Dude, go win some games. Michigan's got a great program. It's got a great fan base, consistently one of the best games to go to in college football, but you need a coach that buys into it, not buys into himself.
I love it. All right, let's move on. Playing the pressure game with the Big Ten, man. We have come to player, John. Who is the player under the most pressure?
Trace McSorley. Gone are Deshaun Hamilton. Gone is Saquon Barkley. It's your
Gesicki.
Yeah, it's your team now, Trace. And Penn State has now moved themselves back to one of the upper echelon teams in college football, finished ninth. They were like 4 points away from being in the Big Ten championship game and playing in the playoffs for what should have been the second straight year. Trace McSorley has to be the guy now that carries them until other stars emerge for that football team. It's on Trace.
I'm with you, but I'm not with you. I want to pick a different guy.
Alex Hornibrook.
Certainly, I thought of him. And certainly there's a lot of pressure on Trace McSorley. But I'm going to pick Dwayne Haskins of Ohio State. Dwayne Haskins is the 6'3", 214-pound pro-style quarterback. He will be a redshirt sophomore, and he got some action last year, as you all saw, especially in that Michigan game. John, the pressure is twofold. Okay, A, you've got to win the quarterback battle. Mm-hmm. Okay, just because he played and came in for Barrett last year does not mean he's going to start for the Buckeyes this year. Joe Burrow and Tate Martell, they are very known names to Ohio State fans. They follow their team and know the underbelly as well. Joe Burrow and Tate Martell are going to make this a competition for Dwayne Haskins. So he's got to win that competition. And then, John, your reward for winning the competition to be the starting quarterback of Ohio State is winning the national championship in your first year as a starting quarterback in college football. That's a ton of pressure, Emo.
Well, me and John are on the same page on this one. Trace McSorley at Penn State, that has become Saquon Barkley. He's gone. Now it falls on you. It's not a bad program. They did good things. I was talking to my main man, Mike Conti. Said, what do you think about Trace? He said, you know what? The pressure's not really on him that much because without Barkley there, he can't do everything, Trace McSorley. So he said, I think they're probably going to be about a middle-of-the-range team this year. But he said maybe win a couple or have a couple of losses, maybe end up back in the Fiesta Bowl. But he said without Saquon, we'll get there
Barkley,
eventually.
Just
without Charles Barkley there, you're not going to do much.
That's your boy.
By the way, Craig, stop ordering drinks.
Are you besties now with Chuck? You're besties now with Chuck.
You know what? He keeps calling me, and he keeps texting me. I'm like, dude, man, new phone, who dis?
Is he going to come over and be a babysitter for Super Bowl?
Dude, I can't wait to get Charles Barkley on and hear him recount the night with M.O. and hopefully starts busting stones. I'm a man, Mark. CCV was there. That was a great night at the Four Seasons.
Matter of fact, CCV has a drink right now that Charles ordered him.
Really?
Yeah. In the back, he's got a Dos Equis.
He'll sober up by showtime. Don't worry about
maybe.
It.
Maybe. Is that a prerequisite for that show? No.
You tell me.
No. I know
I'm getting
those guys.
A vigorous shake of the head by CCV.
Nice. A little Tribe Called Quest. Check the vibe, y'all.
I like
Take
it.
A break. We come back. He played for Michigan. He also played for the Eagles. Dahani Jones will join us next live from Radio Row on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Elton John fans.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.